Welcome back to Once Came You, a Freemasonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. I'm your host, Brother Robert Johnson. This is episode 181. In the news this week, we have a nice paper. I will be absent from the Masonic Roundtable for the next couple of weeks. I have some prior engagements, one of which being a great presentation in Pontiac, Illinois, where I will be in the audience for Brother Aaron Gardner's presentation called Man in the Mirror. I will also be down there with Midnight Freemason contributor Brother Brian Shimian. So there'll actually be the three of us down there next Tuesday in Pontiac, Illinois. It is not going to be a Masonic roundtable to miss. They have the 10-year Masonic podcast veteran, Brother Eric Diamond, is going to be on the show. I know you'll all enjoy that. I also want to mention in a couple weeks, on the 28th of February, there is going to be a presentation at the Scottish Rite Valley of Freeport in Illinois. Again, that's on the 28th, and that will be with Brother Stephen L. Harrison, another Midnight Freemason contributor and author of Freemasonry Crosses the Mississippi and Tales from the Craft. He is also one of the contributors to this podcast by bringing you the Masonic Minute. I hope all of you have found that John Paul Gomez, our friend and brother who came out with the Masonic Wooden Watch. He has his amazing ties. He is now offering the Wooden Watch again, but this time he's actually offering it with a sapphire lens for the top of the watch instead of the glass that it was before. The sapphire is a lot harder and it will not crack. So this is a huge deal. I know it's going to be very popular. They only need a few in order to produce these. So they're going in the pre-order now, and you're looking at 4 to 6 weeks for production time, and he's got to mail it out and all that. So if that sounds cool to you, head on over to fraternalties.com and check that out. Brother Stephen L. Harrison, 33rd degree, is back this week for his awesome segment, Masonic Minute. I know many of you really enjoyed it. In fact, his first segment was so good, we turned it into kind of a 4-5 minute commercial for Freemasonry. And it is an amazing, really cool little short video with his narration. It's brilliant. So if you haven't had a chance, go check that out. It was also a video in the episode 179 on the extras on the app. You can check that out. And we have a new sponsor, if you missed out on that. It's FreemasonTees.com. So if you go to FreemasonTees.com, you can use the coupon code WCY at checkout, and you'll get 10% off, and they donate 10% back to the show. I'm going to be offering a new series of pins very shortly. The pins are actually of a cheaper variety. I don't mean cheaper as in not quality, just cheaper as in they don't cost as much to produce. Before, we had a die-cast Whence Came You pin, we had tie bars, and we had cufflink sets, and those sold out very quickly. In order to meet a demand and to be able to bring these to you again, the best we could do currently is to offer them as a button pin. So the standard button pin, which has a pin on the back which kind of comes out and you push it through and then you reclip it back into the button pin itself, we're going to offer the same triangular Whence Came You pin design on a circle button. It's got a black background and the triangle design on the front. It looks pretty handsome. I like it. They came out better than I expected. We will have the ability to manufacture and have these as we need them. In addition to that, we are also going to be looking at selling a Midnight Freemasons pin. It is a moon image with Midnight Freemasons written on the top and bottom and with the square and compasses in the middle. You'll recognize the design from our website and from our column in the Working Tools magazine. So again, those will be forthcoming. The Midnight Freemason pin design will most likely be going toward a charity. I am going to be in the works and talking with the other contributors to the Midnight Freemasons to come up with a charity that we all can agree on. So look forward to that. And with that, we'll go into the first part of this week's episode, the paper. And it's called Gifts of the Magi. Gifts of the Magi. It's from a Short Talk Bulletin, volume number 12, from August 1934, number 8, by Unknown. This one starts off with a quote. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Matthew 21:11. A young man asks, what will I receive from Freemasonry if I become a member? My father was a Mason, and I'd like to be, but I want to know what the order has to offer me. Freemasonry offer nothing. The petitioner requests the lodge may or may not give. But the question is entirely legitimate. and a young man sufficiently thoughtful to want to know something of the craft which he expresses a desire to join is good material for a lodge and should receive a satisfying answer. The first gift of Freemasonry is that of standing in the community to pass the investigation of a competent committee and the secret and unanimous ballot of a lodge is to be stamped with an earmark of good character. Freemasons have an inviolable reputation. To become one is to share in that reputation, since acceptance as a Freemason marks recognition of character by men well thought of in the community. Cicero said, quote, "To disregard what the world thinks of us is not only arrogant, but utterly shameless. If his Freemasonry makes the world think better of man, it is worth all it may cost in time and effort." The young man who becomes a Freemason has the privilege of giving charity and relief to those less fortunate in a way which is beautiful because it is a secret and unselfish. Addison wrote, quote, "Charity is a virtue of the heart and not of the hands. As all know who are concerned in Masonic charity, it is truly of the giving spirit." The young Mason has also the privilege of receiving charity and relief for himself, should he need it. It is to be emphasized that Freemasonry is not primarily a charity and relief organization. These are incidental to her practice and as a result of her teachings. No Freemason has a right to either, but he has certainty of receiving both, should he, or those dear to him, be in need. This gift of the craft makes greater appeal to men as they grow older. The young man just facing the world with the future stretching hopefully before him, the possibility of needing the comfort of a hand on his shoulder, a check for a ton of coal, a helping hand for a penniless widow, seem remote, but he receives the precious privilege of giving to those who have traveled further on life's pathway. Gifts of Freemasonry are the opportunities she provides for service other than charity, service in friendship, service to ill, service to brethren in trouble, service to the lodge, nor care that the service to be rendered may not be great. Wordsworth sang, "Small service is true service while it lasts the daisy, but the shadow that it casts protects the lingering dewdrop from the sun." As all know who have lived, service to others generates the greatest happiness. He who lives for himself alone lives miserably. He who lives somewhat for others finds that peace which passeth understanding. The ancient craft gives her sons a liberal education in the difficult art of character building. World activities are founded upon ramifications of character. We travel in the railroad train at dizzying speed, secure in the belief that the engine is controlled by a man of character, sober, reliable, industrious, careful, cautious, and able. We never see him. We do not know him personally, but we believe that he could not be where he is had he not demonstrated character. Business is done on credit, which is only faith in a man's word. We accept as money a piece of paper with a name on it, certain that the character of the maker of that check and the officials of the bank will secure to us the money for which the check calls for. We have faith in the character of the doctor, our lawyer, and the judge in the court. Character is a foundation of our civilization. Freemasonry offers such opportunities for the development and the increase of the stature of character as can be found nowhere else in like amount. Quote, "Many men build as cathedrals were built, the part nearest the ground finished first, but that part which soars toward heaven, the turrets and spires, forever incomplete." End quote. Beecher's simile need not apply to Freemasonry. He who does not finish his turret and his spire of character in the fraternity fails because he will not because he cannot. To the Freemason, the lodge offers the gift of intelligent patriotism, not the 100% American, America first and the devil take the hindmost, patriotism of the demagogue, but the real patriotism of genuine love of country, which comes to those who genuinely try to make their country lovable. The history of Freemasonry in this nation is inextricably intermingled with the stirring events and the deathless deeds of literally hundreds of Masonic patriots, without whose devotion the United States might not have been a nation. Paul Revere, Warren, Washington, Marshall, Jefferson, Lafayette, and Franklin. Pages might be filled with immortal names of great men in our history who have known and loved and used the ancient craft for the betterment of our nation. Quote, "For how can man die better than facing fearful odds for the ashes of his fathers and the temples of his gods?" It is this patriotism which Freemasonry teaches. We may not keep the bridge with old Horatius, but in the lodge, we can and do learn reverence of the quote-unquote ashes of our fathers and the temples of our liberties and our traditions. Freemasonry gives to her sons the gentle gift of fellowship. Our friends are those we know well, who love us, perhaps as much as because of our faults as in spite of them. Those with whom we fellowship, we may see only once, and yet because of our common bond, we know them as men who might become friends. Did opportunity offer? It is to be hoped that they fell thus of us. The spirit of fellowship in a lodge cannot elsewhere be found. We come to the tiled door a stranger. When passed within, we are not among strangers but brethren. William Morris phrased it thus, quote, "Forsooth, brethren, fellowship is heaven, and lack of fellowship is hell. Fellowship is life, and lack of fellowship is death. And the deeds that ye do upon earth, it is for fellowship's sake that ye do them." End quote. Freemasonry stops not with fellowship. She gives the gracious gift of the most favorable opportunity to make friends which can come to any man. Quote, "If a man does not make new acquaintances as he advances through life, he will soon find himself left alone. A man, sir, should keep his friendships in constant repair." Samuel Johnson's philosophy might have been written of his who finds the lodge the cradle of new friendships. The initiate is vouched for to his fellows. This is a man, so the committee has said. He is worthy. He is well qualified. His reputation suffers not under the tongues of his friends. He is honest, upright, of good character. What the committee has said of him to the lodge, which accepts him, other committees in the lodge have said of every member the newly made brother will greet. Surely, no happier beginning to friendships could be imagined. The young master who cannot find in his lodge the men who will later become his friends of his heart, surely is he fortunate in his choice of lodge. The lodge gives the gentle gift of innocent recreation to her sons. The initiate will find here a conception of quote-unquote good time, quite different from that of the world without. The good time of a lodge, a banquet, informal picnic, entertainment, ladies' nights, concerts, Masonic talk, or what have you, has a charm all on its own, quite distinct from similar functions arranged by other bodies. Pleasure the servant, virtue looking on, wrote Rare Ben Johnson, almost as if he had learned the phrase in the pleasures of refreshment in a lodge. The camaraderie of the social hour of the lodge cannot be equaled elsewhere. Within these portals, where men upon the level and part upon the square, the quote-unquote good time is not confused by questions of who is he or what does he do. Men enjoy lodge functions not only because of the innocent mirth which the old charges enjoin, but because of the freedom and the happiness. One must accept all others in the lodge at face value. A great gift of the fraternity is that of home in a strange place. That the Mason is never homesick is a truism. In practically any town in the land, aye, in thousands of towns the world over are Freemasons and Freemasons' lodges. Come to any lodge, a stranger, and knock on the door. If the knocker can prove that he is a member, a royal welcome awaits, warming to the heart, easing the pain of loneliness, comforting to him who is far from those he loves and knows. One thinks naturally of Byron's. 'Tis sweet to know there is an eye will mark our coming, and will look brighter when we come. And Shakespeare's, his worth is warrant for his welcome. Nor is this, quote, home for the homeless, all sentiment. Many a Mason has been stranded in strange places, and been speeded to his destination by brotherly hands. Many a man in town he does not know has entered it a stranger, and departed with new friends upon his list. The mystic tie is a real tie, too strong for breaking, be the strain put upon it never so great. A gift of the fraternity, which it is good to take from the box of memory, and muse upon, is that of kinship with the old. To do as all good brothers and fellows have done who have passed this tiled door before is inspiring to all but the most practical-minded. To kneel where George Washington knelt, to take the obligation which was sacred to Benjamin Franklin, to sit in a fancy with the first Grand Master in London, to be initiated with Elias Ashmole, to look over the shoulder of the unknown priest whose careful penmanship lives to this day on our Regis poem, to gather with Adelstan and the great assembly in York 1,000 years ago, to go back, back, and still further back, through the Roman Collegia, ancient mystery, into Egypt, and perhaps the very birth of the legend of Osiris and Isis. Be spiritually one of a long line of brethren who have knelt at this altar, taken these vows, lived this life, and loved these teachings. That is a gift all Freemasons may have for the taking, and which none take but value. Oh, there are voices in the past, links of a broken chain, wings that can bear me back to times which cannot come again. Many God forbid that I should lose the echoes that remain. A companion gift is the kinship with the present day. More than 3 million men in this nation are now living who have taken the Masonic obligation and who hail the new brother, as he may hail them, with the dearest of titles given by man to men, brother. These 3 million, more than 4 million in the world, will look upon the work you do in the lodge as important. Anciently it was written, laborus est orar, to labor is to pray. He who accepts the responsibilities of Masonic membership will learn to pray by unselfish labor. Labor on committees, labor on fellowship teams, perhaps labor in conferring degrees, labor of love, all, but all bringing their own reward. Not the least of her gifts is the opportunity the ancient craft puts before her sons, that they may work for the common good. One of Freemasonry's most precious gifts to those who seek her light is her emphasis on religion. Freemasonry is not a religion. Freemasonry is religion, which, without the qualifying article, is quite a different matter. A religion is a method or mode of worship of God as conceived in that system. Quote-unquote, religion, with no qualifying article, is knowledge of obedience to, dependence on, and uttered belief in deity. The Freemason may worship any god he pleases, and name as he will. God, Jehovah, Allah, Buddha, Christ, primordial urge, or great first cause. Freemasonry's term for the deity is the great architect of the universe, but she cares no whit what her sons may call him in their prayers. For 1,000 reasons men may wish to become Freemasons, but the great reason why men remain Freemasons, devoted to the principles and teachings of the order, is vitally concerned with this non-doctrinal, non-sectarian, non-dogmatic teaching of religious truths with neither conflict nor interfere with the tenets and practices of any religion, nay, which buttress and uphold the teachings of the Church. All men at heart are religious and desire kinship and communication with the supreme power. Many men do not phrase this need to themselves, many never think of it, yet it is within all as truly as a hunger and thirst for material food and drink are present. Freemasonry satisfies this hunger in men who cannot or do not appease it in church. Freemasonry adds to the hunger and therefore to the satisfaction of men who do find it in church, the gratification of the spiritual need, the stronger that they may not put it into words. In a lodge, emphasis is everywhere upon an unseen presence. Lodges are erected to God. Freemasons open and close lodges with prayer. A candidate receives the benefit of a lodge prayer and later must pray for himself. The number 3 is everywhere in lodge. 3 degrees, 3 stations, 3 principal officers, 3 great lights, 3 lesser lights, 3 steps on the master's carpet, 3 pillars, and 3 is the numerical equivalent of the triangle, most ancient symbol of deity. The initiate may learn of this as he will. He cannot escape the implications of the letter G, whether he will or not. As millions have learned before him, he will come to the conviction that there is a winding stairs, which does lead to a real middle chamber. The letter in the E stands for a reality, to know and understand which is the end and aim of life. The young man petitions a lodge, is passed by the committee, receives a favorable ballot of his fellows, and lives thereafter with the proud privilege of wearing a Masonic apron and saying to those who ask, "I am a Master Mason." For a little space, he walks forward up a hill. Then he turns, he steps downward onto the sunny side, facing the western sun. At long last, the shadows fall, and he steps into the sunlight beyond the horizon. Then he has that precious heritage, which is for all Masons, and only for Master Masons, to be laid to rest with the tears of his brethren, the white apron of initiation the only decoration on his bier, the solemn words of the comforting Masonic service in the ears of his relatives and friends, and at the end, peace under the sprig of acacia of immortal hope. Surely this is not least among the gifts which the gentle craft has for those who love her and whom she loves. The greatest gift? It is, of course, a matter of opinion. To some it will be one, to others another of those here so slightly sketched. Sadly sang the great Persian poet, quote, "There was a door to which I found no key. There was a veil through which I might not see. Some little talk a while of me and thee there was, and then no more of me and thee." To many her greatest gift is this. Freemasonry gives to her sons a key. Many never fit it into the door. Others turn the key, but never push the portal wide. Some, there are those who swing the gate on its hinges to enter the quote-unquote foreign lands of Freemasonry, there to wander and to ponder, to study and to learn, to delve and to dig into the foundations, the symbolism, the history, the inner meaning of the old society. For these are the gifts transcending gold and frankincense and myrrh, gifts of spiritual satisfaction, of knowledge gained, of understanding won. For many pleasures of this life man has invented names, the glory of music, the loveliness of painting, the beauty of sculpture, the satisfactions of the body, the happiness of unselfishness. For others more ethereal, no words have yet been coined, but the key leads to the door, beyond which stretches the path to knowledge of those unknown, unnamed joys, which only the possessors understand. In Freemasonry, as in the Great Light, it is said, "Ask, and ye shall receive, seek, and ye shall find, knock, and it shall be opened unto you." He who asks, seeks, and knocks in Freemasonry will receive gifts as beautiful as they are indescribable, as desirable as they are imponderable, and hear the word of those older and wiser in the craft, since it is not given to any man to catalog in words that which no words may lend. Say to the one man who asks you what he will find in Freemasonry, you will receive what you expect, and all you expect. Say to him, if you expect little and give much, you will receive far more than the tongue may tell. Finally, say to him, ask of Freemasonry what you will, and it shall be given to you, even the gifts of the Magi, but ask of her nothing, unless you come with a heart open, first to give, for that, and that only, is brotherhood. All right, now this is the point of the show where I ask you to support the show. We have a few different ways. Of course, there are the apps on Android, Apple, and Windows Phone. You can just search those. If you're on Apple, you want to check out the Podcast Box application and search Whence Came You while inside the app. The app is $2. It gives you streaming access to the show, and you'll get bonus features like the papers we read on the show, as well as a Masonic wallpaper and sometimes videos or even books. Another way is shopping. So if you visit onnit.com for any number of healthy living supplements or workout equipment, CrossFit stuff, you can check that out. You can visit freemasonryart.com, which is all the art and really cool stuff that Brother Juan Sepulveda of the Winding Stairs podcast and also a co-host on the Masonic Roundtable comes out with. And you can check out freemasontees.com. All three of those use the same coupon code, WCY. All three of those, you're going to get the very least 10% off. And they all will donate a portion of the sale back to the show. So again, a win-win. And last but not least, we do have a PayPal direct donation. You pick the amount, whether it's $1 or $2 or whatever it is, it all goes back into the main mission here at Whence Came You podcast, right? It is to provide listener-supported Masonic education. So that is through WCY Media. We've talked about it in the past. We are going to be moving forward, having more contributors to this podcast, starting new podcasts, and even bringing back some old ones. So with that in mind, thank you for your support. Next, we're going to go right into Brother Stephen L. Harrison's segment, which is so amazing. I know you're going to love it, and we'll just go right into it right now.
Have you ever wondered what it would have been like to be a Mason back in the early to mid 20th century? I'm part of that lost generation, the one that pretty much skipped joining the fraternity. Until later in life, I was no exception to that generalization, and it's hard to figure out why. I almost couldn't have been more active as a DMLA. I loved it, and by all logic, I should have jumped right into Masonry when I was old enough, but I didn't. College, marriage, a job, life just got in the way, I guess. It's a shame, and I'm sure I missed a lot, but you know, no crying over spilled milk. Still, sometimes I wonder what it would have been like to have been a member back in Masonry's heyday, whatever heyday means. It amazes me, for example, that my dad's Scottish Rite class had nearly 300 members. Over the course of a month, they saw all the Scottish Rite degrees, published a 120-page hardbound class book, had class projects, and elected class officers, with no less than 12 vice presidents. Yep, things were sure different back then. Or were they? Looking through my dad's things a while back, I found that old hardbound class book. Along with it, I ran across his copy of an Indiana Freemason magazine from November 1966. I read the magazine cover to cover. It was interesting, fun, and surprisingly familiar. Among other things, I found these tidbits. In his column, Grandmaster Joseph L. Birdwell admonished brothers to remember the true meaning of the upcoming Thanksgiving. It should be, he said, a day of sincere thankfulness, not feasting and revelry. Members had recently dedicated a stone monument at the site of an old inn where brothers held the first Masonic meetings in the area. There were strong parallels to the dedication in my state, marking the site of the first Masonic meeting here. 50-year members, of course, were honored with their service awards. The issue is full of reports on activities of individual brothers and lodges. It talks about their donations, a Masonic home pilgrimage, service projects, construction projects, and, of course, many gatherings, meals, and the same kind of brotherhood and fellowship we know today. In other words, the work of the craft nearly half century ago is pretty much the same as the work of the craft today. Most of the articles in that old magazine wouldn't look out of place in one of today's publications. They may have had more members back then, but there is a great bond of familiarity between the brothers then and today. What's more, the brothers back then felt that bond too. Brother Richard LaGrange was my dad's Scottish Rite class orator. Yes, they had one. As he put it, the mantle has been cast upon our shoulders, so to speak, to carry on and perpetuate the good work that has gone on before us. Our tenets, brotherly love, relief, and truth, are unchanging, and we are indeed brothers across the span of time. For the Whence Came You podcast, this is Steve Harrison with the Masonic Minute.
All right. Many thanks again to Brother Stephen L. Harrison for his amazing segments. You can find his books on Amazon.com, Freemasonry Crosses the Mississippi, and Tales from the Craft. Links to both of those books are in our bookstore on WCYpodcast.com. Takes you right to Amazon, or they will also be in the show notes, so check those out. Next is this week's famous Freemason, Harpo Marx, born November 23rd, 1888, passed away September 28th, 1964. Born Adolf, he changed his name to Arthur during World War I, but was known professionally as Harpo. The second oldest of the four Marx Brothers comedy team, Harpo rarely, if ever, spoke while in character, but was renowned as a mime and harpist. His ready wit was recognized with his inclusion as a member of the Algonquin Road Table in New York. Source on that one is the Grand Lodge of the Yukon, British Columbia website. They list him as a confirmed Freemason. That's it for this week. Please find us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and you can find us on Google+. As well, under the email address wcypodcast@gmail.com. That is also where you can get a hold of me if you need anything. My offer still is a valid offer. If you would like a Masonic Matchbox Lodge complete with pillars, I added pillars now, we can trade. So you want to go ahead and send me an email at the previously mentioned email address or at admin@wcypodcast.com. I will trade for you, maybe a lapel pin or something. We'll have a good time trading back and forth. And hope to see some of you at the Masonic presentation, Man in the Mirror, in Pontiac, Illinois. Brother Aaron Gardner and Brother Brian Shimian. We'll have three Midnight Freemason contributors in one lodge. It should be a pretty good time. In addition, please don't miss the Masonic Roundtable with veteran podcaster as our guest, Brother Eric Diamond. We'll talk to you guys all next week. Stay in the level. For Whence Came You? I'm Robert Johnson.